Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We are off and rolling. Tuesday, January 6th, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at GM_Kuhn71. I'm alongside, as always, the executive producer of the program. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, Gabe?
Nothing much. Lot going on. And we're going to be off a little bit early today, so we're going to have to fit it all in, pack it all in. We have Grizzlies versus Spurs tonight. We'll talk about that off the top, as well as some NBA news and notes. Two teams in the Western Conference, obviously in different situations completely, feel like they're imploding. One more than the other, but still, the Thunder, who were at one point 25-2, have lost 5 of their last 10. And last night, did you see the final score?
I did.
The game that they played at home against the Hornets?
I did.
124-97, they lose to the Hornets. Also, the Golden State Warriors.
Who could have seen this coming?
Everyone. Absolutely everyone. But we have those 2.5 hours to talk on the way, courtesy 92.9 FM ESPN. Yours truly. We'll talk about that. We'll get to the CFP Final Four. Connor and I will discuss these games back and forth, bottom half of this hour, and then make our official picks as we get closer to Thursday night and Friday night when the games will actually be played. And both of these games are pretty tricky to pick. One is a rematch, and then the other one, you have two teams that seem to be peaking at the perfect time of the season, Ole Miss and Miami.
Right.
So we'll go back and forth, pros and cons, see where these games are going to be won. As far as guests are concerned, Jeff Calkins will join at 5 o'clock, and then right before we pass you off to Grizzlies versus Spurs, we will bring on Christian Fowler. And then, of course, 5:30, trip around the NFL, a lot to get to there. And I think I want to today, Connor, we'll get your list ready. I want to rank the job openings in the NFL.
NFL.
Yeah,
okay.
From best to worst. So we'll get those lists ready for about 5:30.
Okay.
I think the best right now is pretty obvious, but we'll save that. We'll save that for 5:30.
I think I'm going to have a surprising team toward the top.
Giants?
No.
Okay.
Wait till 5:30, Gabe.
Wait, yeah. I broke my own rule
immediately.
I broke my own rule immediately. All right, now, we'll get to the Grizzlies versus Spurs in a second, talk about these injuries that the Grizzlies are going to have to deal with the rest of the season, and really the rest of time is what it feels like.
Correct.
But last night, the Thunder lost their 5th game in the last 10. They are now sitting at 30-7, and they have lost to the Hornets, the Charlotte Hornets, 124-97. SGA could only muster 21 points. Yeah, he keeps the 20-point streak alive, but it is getting uglier. This team's just not playing like they were at the beginning of the season. Now, I think there is some reasons that is the case. They're not getting to the free throw line, Connor. They're not getting to the free throw line. There is a stat that I saw today. It has to do with their last 9 games. Again, which they have lost 5 of those last 9 games. They are 26th in free throw attempts per game. Now, what happened to potentially spur this, right? Let's go back 11 games. 11 games for the Oklahoma City Thunder. They were playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Connor, do you remember, Thunder won. Do you remember what happened in that game? If you remember the end and the opposing team, Minnesota Timberwolves, what transpired?
I don't think I remember what actually happened on the court, but I absolutely remember
that's
the coach.
All, I don't care about what happened on the court, if there was a foul or an over. I don't care about any of that. What happened?
He lost his mind.
Chris Finch lost his ever-loving mind and got thrown out of the game. And then after the game, goes after officials, probably got a fine, did all that. But since then, in the last 9 games that the Thunder have played, they are 26th in free throw attempts per game when previously they were leading the NBA. So I have to ask this question very honestly and earnestly. Did Chris Finch do the Lord's work on that fateful night?
Yeah, I think that we should give him the Medal of Honor, a Purple Heart, the Nobel Peace Prize, whatever he has done to help slow down the rate of free throws at the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're getting, and to be honest, it's not just about them getting free throws. It is about how they are officiated overall. Because a lot of people, I think, get tripped up on, well, SGA's not the only guy that gets the free throw line at a high rate. He's not the only one who drives, blah, 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 blah. That is one of the points. It's not the only point, though. You also have to look at what they get away with defensively, especially a guy like Lou Dort and Alex Caruso. Like, Alex Caruso's entire playoff strategy last year was, I'm smaller than the guy I'm going to be defending, so I know I can get away with fouling him constantly the entire time. And it seems like the officials have not only changed the way that they're officiating them offensively, but more importantly, defensively.
Yes, that's part of it. And I've always wondered, because we've had these discussions, and most people in sports talk radio, national TV doing sports talk, Get Up, First Take, Colin Cowherd, we've had these discussions about the Oklahoma City Thunder and how much they get away with and how many times they're fouled. So I always wondered when the ball was going to drop. When is the NBA going to tell its officials, hey, we need to watch this a little closer. You guys need to be a little quicker with the whistle at times when, you know, SGA's reaching in, Alex Caruso's reaching in on anybody who tries to get into the paint against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Also, conversely, when SGA just gets a touch foul out there on the perimeter and gets 2 free throws, you need to be a little less, you know, privy to making those calls. You need to be a little more fair to the opposing team. So I've always wondered when the ball was going to drop. It feels like right now we're at that point. I don't know what the Thunder do to adjust, because I would imagine it's a massive adjustment. Because, Lord, let's be honest about their game plan, game to game, what we saw in the playoffs last year. This is how they play. This is a style for them, right, where the official's not going to call every call, right? They're not going to call everything on the defensive end, and we know SGA is very crafty and he can get those foul calls on the offensive end. But eventually, refs are going to have to officiate it a little bit differently, and I think we're seeing a bit of a shift. I don't know if it's going to hold at this rate where they're 26th in free throw attempts per game, but I feel like we're seeing a shift in how this team is going to be called, and it's not going to work to their advantage, as we have seen these last 10 games.
No, and the great irony, I think, of all this, and irony might be an incorrect word, but what's odd about this conversation is the Thunder do benefit from a whistle. There's no doubt about it. I actually think that they benefit more with how they are allowed to play defense than they do really to getting to the free throw line. The person that is still hiding from all of the criticism who really should be getting it is the Lakers. The Lakers free throw disparity is insane when you go and you look at it. And I feel like the Thunder catch a lot of the flack that the Lakers should be getting, but I do think it's because you have SGA as...
And you're the reigning champs.
And the reigning champ. But you have SGA as kind of the poster child for driving, throwing your head back, and getting to the line. And then you have Lou Dort, arguably, he is a dirty player, and then Alex Caruso just fouling the crap out of people the entire game.
There's a lot of guys that use their craft the way that SGA does in the National Basketball Association. James Harden did it for a long time.
Sure.
We understand that. But there's another guy in New York, Jalen Brunson, does it at the high what feels like a higher clip. Does.
Well, but he's protected by the New York media conglomerate of the cocoon of New York media.
Yes.
He's again, protected by it. And to be honest, I don't know. I watch a lot of Knicks games because I love the Knicks. They are a team that I very much enjoy. It's different. I don't know how to explain it, but it feels different the way that SGA does it to Jalen Brunson.
Is it simple just to say, like, okay, these are the reigning champs, so the microscope is going to be on them a little bit more, Right, and that's why we have these discussions about them on a pretty consistent basis. I feel like that's
maybe
most of the reason that SGA catches his flack and why this discussion is so hyper-focused on the Oklahoma City Thunder when a lot of other teams are very similar. Maybe not on the defensive end, but certainly on the offensive end with their star players.
I would argue something similar, but a little bit different. Because I think that we were having these conversations about the Thunder before they won the championship. I think it's because SGA won the MVP. I think the microscope is on him mostly because of the MVP, and Jalen Brunson doesn't have that microscope because he didn't win MVP. So he is still seen as a smaller point guard who is helping reviving the New York Knicks after decades of just being lost in the wilderness. They had those Carmelo years, but mostly they've been lost since the 90s. Jalen Brunson comes in, he helps revitalize them. Gritty, small point guard, drives a lot, good shooter, fits New York. It's just, he has a few more things going for him, I think, than SGA does, who is a little bit more of a finesse player. He plays in Oklahoma City, so he doesn't have a big media cocoon around him. He's the MVP, and they're the champions. I think all of those things are, oddly enough, working against SGA, and it's just Jalen Brunson not being as successful, I think, is why we don't focus on him as much.
Yep, but we'll see how officials continue to officiate this Thunder team.
Let's hope it continues.
There's been a shift. There has been a shift. Yeah. I just wanted to point you in the direction of it because last night that was one you have to look for reasons why that happened.
Well,
at home against a terrible Charlotte Hornets team, losing by 20 plus, that's just not something we have become used to with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Well, and I'm not sure if you were going to get to this next, but there's just another very odd thing going on with the Thunder right now where they added one of their players who. All-NBA guy, J-Dub. All-star, you think would come in and help the historic start keep rolling.
How ironic is that, too?
It has not been. It's been fine. Like, they're 12-5 with him.
Sure.
But they were 18-2 without him.
I was going to say, it's ironic since when they were 18-2, we're sitting here, and they haven't had Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
Jalen Williams comes back, and they
double. We were talking 24-1. We were like, they could win. They could win all of the games.
Yeah, they genuinely double their loss total
in that
process when he comes back. So it's bizarre. Again, I still think they're the best team in the National Basketball Association. Still NBA championship favorites, but there's something to be sort of looked at here when it comes to the way they're being officiated and how that could affect them going forward the rest of the regular season.
They can bleed. It's like that moment in Predator.
Yes.
They're in the jungle and they notice he can bleed. They can bleed.
Right, for sure. Now,
they can die.
The Warriors also, they've been bleeding for a while,
that
bleeding out.
So much joy.
But last night was pretty tough. The Clippers have been playing a lot better lately, and Kawhi Leonard
really
been
well.
Very,
the Clippers
good.
Have been great for the last
And Kawhi Leonard's been phenomenal. Like, he has just turned it on. He's at a different level offensively, which we've seen at various points throughout his career. And I think most of us are asking the same question about Kawhi Leonard. Okay, when's he going to miss time? Which may be coming soon. We shall see. Still a 13-22 basketball team. But last night, the Warriors lose to the Clippers 103-102. And there was a late situation where there was a dump-off pass from Draymond Green to Gary Payton II. Puts it off the glass. It hits the glass. John Collins comes in, slaps it out. They called it a clean block. And Steve Kerr came unglued. I mean, just he lost his mind. And this is another incident in what's been a pretty significant and consistent line of incidents that the Warriors have had this entire season. They've had their struggles. Steve Kerr has had those struggles. Draymond Green a couple of weeks ago, gets into it with Steve Kerr and doesn't play the rest of the game, just sits in the locker room and waits for the game to be over. So I'm just going to ask this question straight. And Terry Stotts, by the way, the assistant coach, did the post-game presser for Steve Kerr. And he said, well, I'm trying to save Steve some money because Steve probably would have lost his mind. But this is the question. I mean, the Warriors, are they imploding before our eyes, and is it going to be over by the time we get to the end of the year in regards to talking about them as a playoff contender, talking about them as a championship contender? I know that the championship contender has been out for a while.
Yeah.
But more a playoff contender continuing to run it out there with Draymond Green and Steph Curry in the same way.
I think that they'll be a playoff play-in team. So I don't know if that part of the Warriors, but they're not a championship contending team.
But there's been
whatsoever.
A point, like we've been at this stage for a while. And 2022 was such an aberration, right? No chance. We had no idea that the Warriors would be able to turn back the clock and go win a championship.
Yeah.
But since then, we've been having a discussion, okay, is it time to transition? No more Klay Thompson. Draymond Green's overpaid for what he's doing at this point. Steph Curry's still great.
Well, not
but
only like, that.
But we've been talking about, okay, Jonathan Kuminga's not playing enough. And now you have you have people in the front office, you know, writing letters to fans saying they want Jonathan Kuminga to play more. So, like, we've been waiting for this transition for the Golden State Warriors for years and years and years. And I can't think of a more obvious time for them to start doing that than right this second. Because vibes, bad attitudes, old guys not really performing up to snuff. And we're at this point where the Warriors have to pivot. The dream of getting another ring with Steph Curry and Draymond Green and the team that you have around them, it's just not there anymore.
I think that there is a reality in which you could win another ring with Steph Curry. There is not one in which you can win with Draymond Green.
Yes.
Or Jimmy Butler.
With how they're being paid, too, I think is part of it.
They tried to assemble the 35-plus Avengers, and we were like, this is not going to work. When they traded for Jimmy Butler, they got a bit of a boost from that, but ultimately we knew that it wouldn't last. Then you still are paying Draymond Green an obscene amount of money right now, which he's earned, I suppose. But this is the end. This is how all empires look, all dynasties look by the end. It looks not the same. It looks rough. It looks old. And what the Warriors have failed to do, most notably what Steve Kerr has failed to do, is develop any sort of young talent. They have none. They have none. Then they went out and got Al Horford, another very old player in the NBA.
Right.
They have a ton of championship experience. But what does that experience buy you in today's NBA?
The experienced guys outside of Steph Curry are not championship players at this point.
Right. And it's just not. Yeah, the era of championships in Golden State with Draymond and Steph, I think, are gone. I think you could still win one with Steph, but you have to surround him with youth. And they don't have that. And they don't really have a pathway to it right now, which is why the Kuminga situation, very odd. They have pods, but he's been kind of bad this year. He hasn't been very good. So I'm not sure where they go from here. I'm very much enjoying it. I thought it was silly when I think ESPN projected that they could win 67 games because it's like, no, you cannot. You cannot win that
many
games.
They ran it through a simulation, but still, it was
stupid.
But
it's Jimmy Butler. He can't be your number one guy anymore. Steph can still be a number one guy, but he doesn't have the juice like he used to anymore.
He's an approaching older 40.
Yeah, so, and Draymond, you know, there have been some clips going on around recently of what he used to look like offensively. It's night and day from what it is now. He's still good defensively. He's still serviceable. One of the better defenders. But he's reached a point to where I think his crazy is outweighing his production.
Yes.
He's causing too much of a distraction now in his podcast and getting into it with the coach. And it's, listen, Draymond, you've earned a lot of goodwill with Golden State, but it feels like you're being a distraction for the sake of it.
It feels
just
like he's trying to burn through it before he retires.
It's just outside of Steph and Jimmy, some nights.
Yeah.
Who's giving you any offensive production? Where's it coming from?
It could come from Jonathan Kuminga.
Maybe, but he barely plays.
Yep.
Or he plays, but like it's Steve Kerr picks and chooses whenever he plays. They don't develop young talent. They never have. It has been the thing that everyone has been talking about with the Warriors for years now. When this Steph Curry thing is over with the Warriors dynasty, y'all are screwed for a little bit.
You have no youth
in this franchise.
I think what needs to be stated, though, is, okay, yeah, you won in 2022. That's not that long ago. But you're clinging to this. You're just clinging to it for the sake of it, for nostalgia's sake at this point. You know that this is not a winning product. You know that this is not a championship-caliber product. So at some point, I think every organization who goes through a dynastic run like this has to be real with themselves and say, okay, it's time to pivot, and they just have yet to do that. And I feel like at the end of this season, if they don't do it, they're just setting themselves up for more failure going into the future.
The dynasties, quote-unquote, that have been able to survive transitions have begun the rebuild or have begun the passing of the torch before those guys retired.
Correct.
Or before they
Correct.
Got to this point. I think the Spurs are the best example. They're absolutely the best example. You went from David Robinson to Tim Duncan, Manu, and Parker.
Yep.
And what happened before they retired when they were still making championship runs? Guess who showed up? Kawhi Leonard. They developed young talent, and that's why they were able to have sustained success. They don't have that in Golden State. Who's their best young player? It's Jonathan Kuminga by
default. It is Jonathan Kuminga, but they don't.
Like, you have Will Richard. You have Pies.
Can I be honest?
You have Moses Moody.
Moses
but like,
Moody.
Those aren't stars.
But still, like, Moses Moody, it feels like they took too long to even get him involved with the team, get him playing time.
Yeah. And he's inconsistent.
And sure, I understand that. But, again, young players getting those reps is massive. And it feels like every guy that they take in a first-round situation outside of Brandon Podziemski.
They have Pat Spencer.
But it feels like they generally just sort of balk at the idea of playing those guys early. When you need to. You just need to. Regular season games, you have 82 of them.
Listen,
you can find opportunities for these young players that you supposedly believe in based on their draft position.
I also understand why they did this, though. It's been over a decade of them being with Draymond
and
Steph.
Yeah, you want to cling on to it.
And it just kind of always works out for you.
Sure.
So they're probably were like, it's going to be fine. We have Steph. But unfortunately, the guys around him aren't good enough to help carry this thing. And Steph, I still think he's one of the best players in the NBA, no doubt about it. Still one of the best shooters. Still think he can be part of a championship team. Can he be the number one guy every single night for you now like you need him to be? I don't know.
Yeah. All right, now the Grizzlies play the Spurs. We'll have it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Right after I get done with the show, Christian Fowler will lead you right into it. Of course, the pregame at 6:30, tip at 7 o'clock with Harry Castleton. As we start most Grizzlies conversations, we need to start with the injury report. It was stated on the injury report yesterday that Ja Morant and Vince Williams Jr. were going to be questionable. Ja with the calf contusion, Vince Williams Jr. with the patellar tendonitis. Vince Williams Jr. is listed now as probable, so he's likely to give it a go tonight versus San Antonio. Ja Morant is doubtful. So let's assume Ja Morant's not going to play because he's doubtful. That means no Ja Morant, no Brandon Clark, no Cedric Howard, no Zach Edey, no Ty Jerome, no John Conchar, no Scottie Pippen Jr.
Not great. If Vince Williams Jr. can turn back the clock to his Magic Johnson cosplay
like,
from a month and a half
15
ago.
15 games ago?
Yeah, that would be great. But it's not having Coward out there and not having Edey and not having Ja, very difficult. Because those are really, you got Jaren, who I suppose could take over a game offensively. He's just been a little bit up and down. He's been in the midst of a better stretch, but didn't have a great game over the break with the Lakers stuff. But not having someone out there who can truly create their own shots, I think, could get tricky tonight. I think Jaren's like the only guy out there who can really create his own shot. So he is going to have a massive game if they want any chance of beating the Spurs.
Yes, and if you look at the Spurs injury report, Victor Wembanyama's going to suit up tonight.
Great.
In all likelihood. And then only other guy of note that will be out is Devin Vassell. So 25-10 team with minimal injuries versus a 15-20 team with maximum injuries. I don't know how this line is the way it is. Maybe it's because Ja was still listed as questionable, and Ja can give you a chance to win any given night. But it's only 6.5 that the Spurs are favored by, which I personally, Connor, I don't think, considering the way the Grizzlies have played in this four-game losing streak, I don't see any world where the Grizzlies are able to cover that. Tonight in this particular situation, unless you have Vince Williams Jr. doing the Magic Johnson thing and Cam Spencer plays like
right.
he did
Cam
five games
crazy.
Ago and not in this four game losing streak. He's had some struggles, by the way. He really has. He's
yeah.
not been great.
0-for-5 last game, 1-for-10 from the field overall. It's just, I mean, you need massive games from, I guess Santi can create his own shot. Gigi's going to get some run tonight and should. If he doesn't, it's malpractice. Like, he should absolutely get some run tonight, because who else are you going to play? They are in a very tough situation right now. And yeah, 6.5. I don't know. If the Spurs give up by the end and aren't running guys out there, maybe you can
backdoor, but you don't get a backdoor like 7
Well,
point.
At the same time though, in the NBA all the time, we see teams who are very injured, including this very Grizzlies team.
This Grizzlies team sticks in there for three quarters, but you get to the fourth quarter, and it's an implosion. And you understand it.
Yeah.
And you can have all the complaints in the world about, like, fourth quarter rotations from Tomas Isolo and all these things. But in the end of the day, if you're being absolutely positively real with yourself about what we have seen, and this four-game losing streak, I mentioned it yesterday, they were tied going into the fourth quarter in one of those games. They were leading in the other three. They just lose steam. They don't have enough. They don't have enough available bodies, quite frankly.
Well,
much less talent.
The huge issue is tonight playing this. Who's playing defense outside of Jaren and Jalen? You got two guys who are good defenders. Two. The rest of your team, not good defenders. The rest of the team is not good at defense. And you're going up against a team very good on offense. So, not a great formula for the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. Jaren has to have a huge game if they want any chance of winning. Or somebody has to have a huge game.
This may be a depressing conversation, but I think it's a real conversation that we need to have. Have you seen the upcoming schedule for the Grizzlies?
Yeah. There's a reason we've been saying you got to win as many games as you can recently.
It's
rough.
I mean, you have a game against the Nets. You have a game against the Pelicans. But outside of that, Hornets... Outside of that, the rest of January is brutal. It goes Spurs, Suns, Thunder. Then you have that Nets game. Then you have two games against the Magic.
Good team.
Playing very well. Hawks are definitely a capable team. Nuggets, Rockets.
Well, Nuggets you might be able to beat now.
Yeah, because they don't have. But they won last night.
I know.
They won last night without their starting five against the 76ers. So I don't know. And then the Timberwolves to end the month. Listen, there's reasons for losses. There's reasons to be dejected. I am very, 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 what's the word? I'm concerned for what this record is going to look like by the end of January.
Yeah, I think concern's a fair word to use. It's the reason why the four losses that I think happen not just because of, but in a large part because of rotation and minutes restrictions. Yeah. The reason those stand out big time to me right now is because of this stretch of schedule that you're about to go into.
Four games you could have lost,
were losses, and you need those four games because I don't think it's going to go well here. Unless Ja comes back and is able to go through this entire stretch healthy, and then you get Coward back, you hope to maybe be 500 going through it. Hope.
You're sitting there at 10th in the Western Conference. Clippers have been playing a lot better. Mavs have been playing a lot better. Jazz are the Jazz, but they'll probably fall off. But those three teams are within two or three games of you to get into the 10 spot. And it feels like they're trending, at least two of those three, Clippers and Mavs, are trending in a different direction as you. And listen, it's not because of full on-court play and guys just stinking on ice when they're out there.
This is injury. Which is the same story, though, you know, of the last few seasons for the Grizzlies. And that's why it gets difficult to talk about it sometimes because some people say, well, it's an excuse. It's the fact of the matter. It's what's happening. I don't know if you can call something an excuse when it is what is happening. I don't know why it's happening, but it is.
If SGA, Chet Holmgren, and Jalen Williams get hurt and the Thunder go on a 10-game losing streak, I'm not going to say that those injuries are an excuse for Mark Daigneault, who hasn't coached the team well enough. No, that's not how that works.
I don't know
your best players are out.
And you lose
games, it's because your best players were out. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. End of story, period. And that's what the Grizzlies have gone through for 3 years.
God. If we ever see this team fully healthy this year, it's going to be like seeing the gates of heaven.
It'll be for 5 minutes until someone rolls an ankle.
I know that will. Yeah. I know it will. Can you imagine, though, a world in which Ja plays, Cedric plays, Edie plays, Clark plays, Ty plays, Scotty plays?
No, I can't.
I know.
Who can imagine that?
It feels like Narnia. Like we're talking about Narnia. It doesn't exist. It's only in the upside down.
What I am expecting, though, soon, at least the Grizzlies probably need to throw this out there in the next week, some updates on some of the longer-term injuries. Ty Jerome, what's going on?
We would have to go back and look at their last update and
Scottie
see
Pippen
if we're
Jr.
in the timeline.
Are we getting closer? Zach Edey, what's the deal?
I think they
need to have an update. It'll be a pretty hefty update. I mean, this would be like
probably.
They might need to do two tweets. Yeah.
I still can't believe that other teams turn on the Grizzlies PR notifications just to feel better about themselves.
That's the thing?
That's a thing. That's a real thing. I think it was the Rockets. I could be wrong, but I think it was the Rockets' Twitter was like, if you feel bad about us, go look at the Grizzlies' Twitter.
Cannot say I blame them.
It's got to pay off, right? Right?
As a fan of another organization, it would make me feel better about myself. Yeah, on the back end, all these injuries, there's going to be a big payoff. I wouldn't bet on it. But we'll see. We'll see. But the Grizzlies tonight, they play the Spurs. It'll be right here on 92.9 FM ESPN when we get off 6:30 pregame, and then 7 o'clock. Eric Hasselstein will be on the call right as we get it tipped off. But let's go ahead and grab a break on that note, and we're going to transition from here, go to college football playoff. We have some discussion to have. There's some news and notes around it. And then Connor and I will discuss each of these games. One played on Thursday, one played on Friday, and we will pick our winners. That's on the other side, 92.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So we're going to get to the college football playoff in just a moment. We have a game on Thursday, game on Friday. Connor and I are going to talk through the games and make our ultimate picks before we get to Thursday. But we do have some breaking news out of the National Football League. And when we get to 5:30 trip around the NFL, we're going to rank job openings. I think we just got the obvious number one.
Yeah, without a doubt.
John Harbaugh, after 18 seasons, is parting ways with the Baltimore Ravens. He finishes with an 180 and 113 regular season record, 13-11 in the playoffs with the Super Bowl championship in 2012. What's interesting about this, he did go to the playoffs a whole lot. He had a lot of 24 playoff games he coached in. But only twice he made it to the AFC Championship. Now, one of those times, he was able to get through and ultimately win a Super Bowl. But other than that, usually a wild card round exit or a division round exit. That's usually what it came through with. But I'm surprised. Not shocked, but surprised that they made this decision. But I think without question, most coaches on the open market are going to vie for that position. Lamar Jackson in place. You need to prove the offensive line. We need to see what happens with Derrick Henry. He's getting to the later stages of his career, even though he's still phenomenal. Defense needs some improvement, but that's a team with Lamar Jackson at quarterback, as long as you keep him there, that can immediately go compete for a Super Bowl in all likelihood, as long as you make the requisite changes and improve on the defensive side of the ball. So this was surprising to me. Not shocking, surprising.
Yeah.
Nine season, you missed the playoffs with Lamar Jackson. Even though you had injuries along the way, things like this happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's surprising, not shocking. Did you read the piece by chance about Lamar Jackson while you were on break?
And I was not able to.
The concessions that Baltimore has given him of allowing him to show up late, doing afternoon practices and walkthroughs instead of morning ones so he can sleep in. His the video game stuff is starting to come. It's one of those pieces where it's like, oh, the cracks are beginning to form here.
Yes.
And that's why it's not shocking to me that Harbaugh got fired, because it does seem like we are now in kind of the in-game stages of a team where it's, okay, star player, coach, who goes first? Usually the coach. New coach comes in. If he can't figure it out with the star player, star player goes. Then you have to restart.
If they're making all those concessions, there's no guarantees that this coach comes in and gives them the same concessions. And like we saw, and I know this is a completely different situation because Russell Wilson, when he was with the Broncos, had completely not same player. Right? Like, right. We can be honest.
Right.
But the things that he was getting away with under Nathaniel Hackett in that 1 year, Sean Payton came in and said, no, that ain't fine. You don't get your own office. You don't get all these things. You're just a guy on the team. I wonder if a new head coach comes in and sort of changes that up on Lamar Jackson. And
maybe so.
I did sort of mention this at the break when we saw this news. Todd Monken's been a pretty good OC for them since he's gotten there. Came from Georgia. I wonder if they give him any thought as a guy to raise up. Now, granted, maybe the entire organization wants to move on from Harbaugh and anybody that was under him. But Monken seems like a guy that could probably take that over, even though he's older and hasn't really been in that type of position before in his career.
I know you have opinions about this person, and I don't necessarily disagree with them, but I bet they call Stefanski.
Yeah, I'm sure. AFC North experience. He knows what to expect.
The theory is he can do well when he has a quarterback.
Oh,
good defensive coach. Where do they need help? Defense.
My issue, though, is Kevin Stefanski, for all the things he does slightly well, because I don't think he does them as well as people act like he does, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
It helps having Myles Garrett.
And Jim Schwartz running an unbelievable defense for a while for him. But with Lamar Jackson, what is very, very abundantly clear, you have to make concessions offensively outside of the scope of what you want to do normally, which is ground and pound, run the ball, which could work with Derrick Henry, and get to play action. Lamar Jackson needs a little more freedom than that. So, like, if they were to make that hire, that would be my concern. How's he going to morph his system, his personnel groupings? How's he going to deploy an offense with Lamar Jackson? Because I think he failed with more than enough quarterbacks in Cleveland to show you he never really morphed his style to fit them. He wants them to fit his style.
What about Raheem Morris?
No.
No?
No. Raheem, I've seen it. Although, at the end of the year, the Falcons played a whole lot better.
Yeah, and he dealt with a crazy amount. I mean, he didn't really have a quarterback.
But when we get to our rankings, I think it'll be clear why I would not put Raheem
sure.
Morris up there.
Okay.
Because I think the Falcons were better than an 8-9 ball club this year from a talent standpoint, from a roster standpoint. But the quarterbacking situation with Kirk Cousins playing well at the end of the year and Michael Penix being the next guy, it seemed to be a power struggle within that organization that Raheem Morris couldn't quite figure out. All right, now let's go ahead and get to the college football playoff. We have two games, one on Thursday and then one on Friday. Thursday we'll start with Miami, number 10 seed, versus number 6 seed Ole Miss. Both teams are peaking at the right time. They're very interesting. They're very intriguing. We didn't expect them to be here at this point. But Miami goes into this game in the Fiesta Bowl, 6:30 on ESPN, as a 3.5-point favorite. Now, I get why they are a 3.5-point favorite. What they have been able to do through the first two rounds is phenomenal, especially defensively. You had a game against Ohio State, who is number one in the country for a majority of the year until they lost to Indiana in the Big Ten title game. You had a game against Ohio State where the defense showed up. We had questions. Okay, against Texas A&M, that's a different thing. Marcel Reed, not the type of talent at quarterback that you really get overly scared of. Offensive line, not unbelievable. It's just solid. But Reuben Bain, Akeem Mesidor, and that front seven just absolutely ate Ohio State alive. And they sacked Julian Sain 5 times. Akeem Mesidor with 2 of them, Reuben Bain with 1 of them. And they didn't really let them run the ball either. So Miami's defense is coming into this game hot. And they're so hot to the point where when they played Ohio State, you only had to get 130 yards out of Carson Beck throwing the ball, which I think is a good recipe because you don't want Carson Beck dropping back 35 or 40 times because eventually he's going to make mistakes with the football.
Correct.
We've seen it time and time again through his time at Georgia and certainly this year since he's been at Miami in those two unranked losses. He had a four interception game in one of them. So I look at this Miami team, and I know what they've done defensively. I know why they're favored. But I think I flip-flopped on this game a little bit. Originally, I liked Miami to win and cover, but I look at this Ole Miss team, and I see what they've been able to do to rally against all the Lane Kiffin drama. I see the mindset they have. They seem to be supercharged because of this. And all the things that Miami does well defensively, I don't think they match up or they're going to be able to do the same exact things against Ole Miss as they've been able to do against Ohio State and A&M. And the reason I say that is because Ole Miss's offense is a little bit different than the first two teams that this Miami defense has faced. They run a lot of RPO. The ball comes out fast a majority of the time. When they do take deep shots, it's usually off of play action. And when you have play action, Akeem Mezidor, Reuben Bain, and whoever's in the interior, even if you have a blitzer, your eyes get played with. So you're worried about run. So maybe your pass rush takes a little bit of a hit because of that. I just feel like this Ole Miss offense can do some things to Miami that they have yet to see, not just in the college football playoff, but the entire season. And also, a lot of that goes to Trinidad Chambliss, who's just playing some of the best ball
right.
we have seen this entire season in college football. And I also think, on top of that, even if they just did a straight drop back and Reuben Bain and Akeem Mezidor come off the edges, Trinidad Chambliss is escapable. He's got that ability. So I think I am on the Ole Miss side of things. I don't think they just cover. I think they will win this ball game straight up.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't hate that. I think that Trinidad Chambliss is probably playing the best of anyone right now in the college football playoff. I think that Ole Miss's run game can offset Miami's run defense. And then it's for me, it comes down to who's got a better quarterback. Who do I trust more? And I trust Trinidad Chambliss more. Now, I think Miami's defense overall is better than Ole Miss's. And I think that Ole Miss needs to turn it into a points battle to really win. It's got to be a shootout,
yeah.
I think, for Ole Miss to win. If it is a 14-10 game, then Miami's probably going to win it. But if Chambliss and Ole Miss can turn it into a shootout, that, I think, is the best chance they have. The game plan they had against Georgia, just transfer that to Miami.
Yep. Although, again, I think Miami's defense... Yeah, Georgia's is great. They stop the run. They do a good job of that. Although they didn't do that great a job against Ole Miss because Ole Miss offensive line, Kawan Lacy, just good. But Miami, it's a different thing altogether to have to protect, to keep Trinidad Chambliss upright. And I will give credit to Miami's defense and their defensive line. Marcel Reed can escape too. Like, that's a movable guy who can make plays off of platform, and he's shown it multiple times throughout the year, even though I think Trinidad Chambliss is a better player, and they got him on the ground as many times as possible still. So it's going to be a really fun game to watch. I also wanted to mention there is some storylines from this game. Even though we have the portal open right now and Charlie Weiss Jr. and running backs coach Kevin Smith are going to head to LSU at the conclusion, whenever they get knocked out or if they win a national title, right, Ole Miss, they're going to coach in the semis against Miami on Thursday, which is causing a little bit of, I don't know, chaos. Not that we haven't dealt with this the past month and a half since.
Which side's mad about LSU? I'm assuming they're mad about it. LSU fans?
I think it's mostly LSU fans. Yeah, because the portal's open and you want to have everybody all hands on deck. But those guys are probably still recruiting for LSU, even though they're in Ole Miss. Like, it's not a big deal. And Lane Kiffin's boots are on the ground, so I think if he's supposed to be the portal king, so I don't think he needs that much help outside of himself to ultimately go recruit a good class to LSU, because ultimately, why do you leave Ole Miss to go to LSU? Because you can recruit a higher caliber of player and you have more resources, so show it.
The one guy I do think could be a game breaker, though, for Miami is Fletcher. I think he's so good, dude.
Yeah,
he's so damn good.
The offensive line is massive.
Yeah, that's why it's just like almost don't let Carson Beck throw a lot. Just turn it into a ground-and-pound game, and that's what I think Miami's going to try to do, is just wear down Ole Miss, keep the ball out of Trinidad Chambliss' hands, give it to Mark Fletcher as much as possible, and just lean on their defense.
Yeah. Now, also in the same conversation when it comes to Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, LSU, coaches staying for the semis, blah, 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 have you seen all of the guys that Ole Miss has been able to
retain? It's
year?
Been nuts.
Pete Golding, brother. I've said
the
this
galvanization.
I think that Lane Kiffin is an offensive he's a genius. He's very good at it, and he can coach a quarterback with the best of them. But Pete Golding can recruit with the best of them. And these re-signings that they have had thus far, now Trinidad Chambliss is contingent upon him getting another year, getting a waiver pass. But he's re-signed. Kewon Lacy is re-signed. And I have questions about that. I would have assumed he would have gone to LSU, but I feel like, and I want to know your opinion on this, throughout all of the Lane Kiffin chaos,
he did not like it.
I think Lane Kiffin lost
trust.
I think he fumbled the bag on
Kewon
Lacy.
Yep, he lost his trust.
I truly did. They re-signed Prince Will Umanmielen, one of their good edges. Suntarine Perkins is re-signed for next year. Bryson Sanders, starting offensive lineman. Will Eccles, one of their defensive linemen. Lucas Cardero, their kicker, who's been phenomenal this year and had the kick there at the end against George and ultimately win it. So we can sit here and act as if Ole Miss is going to take this tremendous fall because Lane Kiffin is gone and we don't trust Pete Golding. But the level of player and the roster retention from a team that's in the college football playoff semifinals should tell you a different story.
Yeah, that's why when all this Lane Kiffin crap was happening, remember we talked about it, we were like, I think he's losing trust of his players. And
yeah.
They may not want to follow him because of the way he's treating them now. And Pete Golding and Ole Miss can look at it and they can create a major league situation here. Lane Kiffin as the GM or owner.
Recruiting in the history of
that
negative
guy,
recruiting.
That guy didn't believe that you could do it here. Another thing that we said, though, and it seems like Ole Miss is doing, and credit to them and their boosters and everybody who donates to them, the money that they are not spending on Lane Kiffin seems like they're spending it on their
Hey.
He did you a favor.
Let's get this picture and put
here's
it on the Ole Miss football account and say you re-signed for a year. Let's
exactly.
do this.
Yeah, here's a check.
Yeah. So it's a very
credit
interesting thing going
credit
on.
Credit to them.
With all this going on, though, you would think it.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At some point, they'd be distracted. It feels like they have rallied around all this and had this hyper-focus on let's go win a national
title. It has fueled them. Hate has fueled them.
Now, did you make a pick for Miami Ole Miss? You still got Miami.
No, I want Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is the better story, so I'm going to root for them.
Okay, okay, but that's...
I just don't trust Carson Beck.
I'm talking real pick, like a pick. Speaking of Carson Beck, a pick.
I think Miami's the better team, but I think Ole Miss is rolling right now, so I'm going to go with Ole Miss.
Okay. All right, now Oregon, Indiana. I have a pretty... my pick is pretty clear here.
Mine's Indiana.
I think Indiana's going to roll.
Roll? Okay.
I think they're going to roll. I think they are, you know... Ole Miss is focused. I think Indiana's about as focused as possible. And Oregon, we can give them credit for winning a couple of college football playoff games, but can we rewind to who they were against and how they were done? You beat JMU. They get a backdoor cover.
Yeah, Texas Tech.
And then Texas Tech, yeah, 23-0. But Baron Morton played one of the worst college football playoff quarterback games I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Tough scene for him.
Now, granted, you give credit to the Oregon defense for being able to do that. But I feel like outside of the Indiana game, I just don't think this Oregon team has been tested. And again, in the Indiana game, you're at home in Autzen feeling very good about yourself, and you lose a game by 10 where you had a pick six to get you back in from Fernando Mendoza. So, like, I feel neutral site. Indiana's ability to win close games, how battle-tested they are, and also the ability they have to just start fast and finish fast like they did against Alabama, I think that all comes into play here. I think Indiana wins and covers pretty comfortably against Oregon.
Would Indiana-Ole Miss be one of the most unlikely championship games we've ever experienced?
Yes, 100%.
What the hell is going on?
100%. No doubt about it. No doubt.
Like somebody waking up from a coma from 2 years ago would be like,
"What happened?
Indiana?
Ole Miss?
Yeah.
What happened? Is Lane Kiffin still there?"
Yeah. No, he's not. He's at LSU. What?
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm going to take Indiana, and I'm going to take Indiana in a pretty comfortable way. What they did against Alabama, I can't look past. And that was a game where you could get a little bit overwhelmed by the moment because you haven't been there. And you have a lot of players that have never really played in that type of environment, yet they came out and just rolled. And it was like what they did during the regular season against a middling Big Ten team, against Maryland. You know what I mean? Like, it's amazing to me what this team's doing. I think they'll win the national title at this point, but I certainly think they'll win this game against Oregon. You feel the same way?
Yeah, I'm going with Indiana.
Yep, I hear you. Also, real quick, we have some transfer portal news. It's official. Austin Simmons, backup quarterback for Ole Miss, is headed to Mizzou. If I have to hear that he had a 5.34 GPA in high school ever again, I'm going to block whoever sends that tweet out. Byron Brown headed to Auburn following Alex
Bolish.
Oh, that's
really good.
I think that's good.
That's good.
Obviously, step up in competition in the SEC. I think he's ready for it, though. He's a big-bodied dude. He can run.
Could he be a sneaky Heisman guy at Auburn?
Sneaky, but what are you doing on the offensive line? What are you doing to retain
that
roster?
Fair point.
And who do you have on the outside to throw to? Because I don't know if you are familiar with it. They had a ouster.
Oh, decimated.
Their wide receiver room is gone.
Yeah.
Perry Thompson's going elsewhere.
It's almost like their old coach was a terrible person.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But Cam Coleman's headed elsewhere. They're going to have to replenish the wide receiver room and go from there, see what happens. But I like Byron Brown as
really like that.
A guy who, even if you aren't able to fill out the rest of the roster, he can make you right in a lot of ways.
Right.
With his running ability and with his arm. I also saw Texas Tech put up a billboard in Times Square to celebrate the commitment and signing of Brendan Sorsby. Did you see that? Cody Campbell, listen, I respect you for spending your money on the roster at Texas Tech to make your alma mater the best it can be. That's a waste of money.
It's a waste of money.
No one in New York gives a damn about Brendan Sorsby committing to Texas.
Yeah, they're like, that's not Rutgers.
And then this is something that's very interesting that I'm going to keep an eye on because I think it could turn out really well, even though a lot of people are not going to be familiar with this name. Georgia Tech transfer quarterback Aaron Filo has committed to Florida. And what's cool about that, he went to Georgia Tech. You know Georgia.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.